Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumry. Thank you for tuning in today. The U.S. Forest Service will hold an in-person public meeting in Juneau on Wednesday to gather feedback for the Tongass National Forest Management Plan revision. The plan will set the agency's priorities for the forest over the next decade or so. The meeting will be held at the Juneau Ranger District building on Mendenhall Loop Road from 5 to 7 p.m. tomorrow. Attendance is in-person only. The Forest Service will not live stream or record the meeting. The federal agency launched the public process for updating the forest plan in February. Forest plans are typically updated every 10 to 15 years, and the last one for the Tongass was completed in 2016. The plan will influence how the Forest Service balances a range of forest uses, including logging, recreation, tourism, subsistence harvest, and ecosystem health. The next deadline to submit comments electronically is May 6th. The agency is seeking comments specifically on a draft outline for the coming plan and a list of species of conservation concern. The agency expects to publish a draft revised plan and draft environmental impact statement this fall, followed by a 90-day public comment period. The final plan is expected next May. The Juneau Assembly voted last night at a committee meeting to delay the planned summer demolition of the downtown Telephone Hill neighborhood until the city receives more information from prospective developers. As KTOO's Clarice Larson reports, the move doesn't stop the project, but it will likely delay the demolition by at least a few months, if not longer.
The Juneau Assembly is becoming increasingly divided on what to do with the city-owned Telephone Hill property. The property is in a prime location in downtown Juneau, and the Assembly has spent the past few years planning and debating how to best use the property to serve the community after the state transferred the land to the city 3 years ago. Last year, the Assembly landed on a controversial plan to spend millions of dollars to demolish the existing houses on the hill and redevelop the area into much denser housing to address Juneau's housing crisis. But at a committee of the whole meeting on Monday night, the Assembly re-examined that plan and considered a new idea for the hill proposed by Mayor Beth Weldon.
My main reason for doing this is just the public outcry not to spend any more money on Telephone Hill.
Weldon proposed ditching the current plan and instead splitting up the hill into segments and selling most of the lots as is. Her justification was that she thinks the Assembly is spending too much time and money on the project and needs to focus on other more pressing issues.
I want to make it quite clear, I'm not doing anything with the houses. That is not my intent to save the houses. My intent is to get this off of the plate. I don't care if the houses are demolished, hate to say that.
The Assembly ultimately shot down Weldon's proposed ordinance in a narrow 5-4 vote. But that wasn't the last motion of the night. Deputy Mayor Greg Smith suggested a different idea that asked the city to hold off on demolition until it received the results from a request for qualifications from developers. A request for qualifications, or RFQ, would ask prospective developers what their qualifications are to take on the project, along with their work history and track record.
I think this is just a slight change in the project. I don't think of it as a stop or anything like that.
The city was already planning on issuing one, but it would have run parallel to the demolition plan rather than finishing up beforehand. Assemblymember Neil Steininger supported the motion, saying it's in the community's best interest to get that information before demolition.
Then it has the added benefit of providing an opportunity to the people who have been pretty vocal coming in to say that they think there's a different plan and a different vision that might look better for Juneau.
The neighborhood was on track to be demolished this summer. But at the meeting, City Manager Katie Kester says waiting for the results of the RFQ will likely take much longer than that timeline.
The document will take a couple of months to draft, and then we recommend at least 90 days on the street just because it's a complex project, which would put issuing the RFQ to developers in July and award sometime in October.
Some assembly members were not on board with the delay. Assemblymember Christine Wall said she is committed to the redevelopment project.
I've heard some people say don't need housing. We have hundreds of people on the street. We have hundreds of Coast Guard families coming, and we have thousands of homes in the valley right now that are in danger of not being habitable. I think it is an excellent use of resources.
The Assembly ultimately approved the delay in a 5-4 vote. The timing of the delay also coincides with a civil lawsuit, which former tenants of the Hill filed against the city last fall. The lawsuit aims to stop demolition and preserve the neighborhood. It's currently scheduled for a jury trial in August. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And homeless numbers in Anchorage have remained roughly the same for the last few years, And officials say many people who have been homeless for a long time need addiction treatment or behavioral health care. Now, a Muni-owned treatment center is getting some people that care while housing them in their own individual micro-units. As Alaska Public Media's Hannah Floor reports, it's not just new housing, but a new municipal approach to solving long-term homelessness in the city.
Summer Bond shows off a newly built tiny home. It's about 100 square feet in size.
So you get a bed, towel set, hygiene kit, a fridge, a microwave, and then it's not in here yet, but we plan to add a TV.
Bond is in charge of getting people settled in at Willow Commons. It's a new municipal addiction treatment program that includes 32 brand new micro units. City officials say if you're homeless, it can be hard to consistently show up for outpatient care. But now, people without housing can live in one of the units and get behavioral health care during the day. Thea Agnew-Benben is with the mayor's office. She's excited about the program. She's been working on it for over a year. She says behavioral health care is a key piece of the city's homeless response.
What we find is that when people remain unsheltered for a very extended period, oftentimes having a behavioral health issue is part of what's keeping them unsheltered.
Anchorage Recovery Center is a drug and alcohol rehab organization that's contracting with the municipality to run the program. Bond is with the organization. She says the program isn't hard to get into. Basic requirements include a need for addiction treatment and homelessness. If there are units available, people get in the same day. When the program opened in late March, it filled up almost immediately. But right now, there's only one person on the wait list. Willow Commons is a closed campus. Residents can't leave until a certain stage in their treatment. No visitors are allowed either. Same goes for drugs and alcohol. The site is staffed 24/7. Bond says partly because when people all live together in close proximity, sometimes things can get a little complicated. That happens at the other programs Anchorage Recovery Center runs, too.
We've been able to solve most of the issues, and it just comes with the new territory, right? Change is hard. Recovery is hard. It comes with it.
The program is voluntary and doesn't have a set timeline. That depends on the needs of each resident. Then once they're ready to graduate from the program, Anchorage Recovery Center makes sure they're transitioning into safe housing and have stable income. But Bond says it doesn't stop there.
We check in on them after they've discharged. How are you doing? Where are you at? Relapse is a part of recovery, so we always have our doors open. They can come back.
The city funded the development of the project with more than $1 million left over from an opioid settlement. That got the first 24 micro units built. Then the city built 8 more with grant money. Agnew-Benben says it's a test case. They'll be learning from the project. And she hopes other organizations do too, and then build their own.
I would love lots of different types of organizations here in Anchorage to decide, like, hey, we could chip in and this is doable and we'll take the plunge.
Agnew-Benben says to help house and support Anchorage's homeless population, it's going to take all different approaches from the community, not just the mayor's office. In Anchorage, I'm Hannah Floor.
And the Alaska House approved its version of the state budget on Monday afternoon. The budget passed along caucus lines, with all 21 members of the Democrat-heavy bipartisan majority voting in favor and all 19 minority Republicans opposed. The budget underwent some major changes on the House floor, most notably the permanent fund dividend. It came to the floor with a roughly $3,800 dividend contingent on a supermajority vote to draw nearly $1.5 billion from the state's main savings account, the Constitutional Budget Reserve. But in a dramatic vote on Friday night, 3 minority Republicans voted with the majority to eliminate the savings draw and the $3,800 dividend from the budget. One of those was Ketchikan Representative Jeremy Bynum, who says the state simply can't afford it.
Maybe it doesn't suit being here in this body very well, but I've spent my whole career of trying to make sure that the numbers match. And when I disagree with what those numbers are, at the end of the day, they still need to match.
Fairbanks Representative Will Stopp and Eagle River Representative Dan Sadler joined nearly all of the bipartisan majority to instead set the dividend at roughly $1,500. It's far from the final word on the dividend, which will likely remain unsettled until the House and Senate agree on a final budget in the closing days of the session. But House Minority Leader Delana Johnson, a Palmer Republican, says she'd rather set the House's ask much higher.
We're setting the price for Alaskans at $1,500. And it's just going to go down from there.
During the House's final debate on the budget on Monday, Representative Andy Josephson, an Anchorage Democrat who led the House's budget process, said the $1,500 figure represented a, quote, sustainable dividend.
Now, I concede that this may not be the final word, but a yes vote reflects that, at least at this moment in time, we would like to pay $1,500. All in all, this budget prioritizes and values crucial areas impacting every Alaskan.
The House's budget also adds roughly $150 million to the state's budget for public schools and $10 million for student transportation as districts across the state struggle to make ends meet. Republicans oppose the budget on a wide range of grounds. Representative Justin Ruffridge of Saldaltna criticized the majority's decision to craft a budget that assumes oil prices remain elevated in the wake of the war in Iran.
I think that the members who sit in these seats a year from now are going to be saying, man, what were those guys thinking? They really made a budget on $75 a barrel oil? Do we think that's reasonable?
The budget now heads to the Senate, which will consider the House's version, come up with its own draft, and set the stage for final negotiations in the closing days of the legislative session in May. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 48 degrees and rather sunny this afternoon. Tomorrow also starts off pretty clear, but we may see a bit of rain in the afternoon. Then the rest of this week looks like it could be rainy, with temperatures from the high 30s to the low 40s. And sunrise was at 5:48 this morning, and sunset is at 8:09 tonight. You're listening to KTOO.